and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a blessed day today, and I pray that everybody in Texas is doing what they always do and is staying strong. I know a lot of people that have gone out there to help out with everything that's going on. I did want to make sure everybody knows that over there by Columbia Lakes, that levee in Brazoria County, they released already this morning that it's basically breached, and officials are urging residences to evacuate immediately. They listed a get out now evacuation order to everybody down there south of Houston. So I want to make sure everybody knew about that if you are listening to it. But it's pretty devastating what's going on in Texas now, and it's definitely pretty clear as much juice as this hurricane has and how it's continuing to push inward unbelievably aggressively, that this was not some natural out-of-the-blue hurricane. They definitely are pushing this thing abnormally with their weather modification, and it's pretty sad to see this, Dad.
I agree, Austin. There's a really good article that people can read on, actually watch online. It's already got 60,000 views, and it says Hurricane Harvey and the Weather Terrorists from Land, Sea, and Air. It's from the aplaintruth.info. I'm going to repeat that. It's Hurricane Harvey and the Weather Terrorists from Land, Sea, and Air. And it talks about the cloud generators. It talks about the radar-based sea domes. It talks about the patents that are being used to direct and steer the storm. It actually shows you a copy of the patent and how it works. It goes into detail on this, and it's exactly what we called out yesterday. This is weather manipulation. It's way beyond HAARP. Yesterday I used HAARP as a catch-all phrase. HAARP is old technology. It's 20, 30 years old. They are so much more advanced now with the types of stuff that they do that HAARP is just old school. This stuff is like way, way, way beyond HAARP. They can still use HAARP, and they can still do that with a bunch of the different modification centers they have around the world and all the satellite uplinks. But they have stuff now with these radar-based sea domes that are huge, Austin. They're like oil platforms. They're so big, and they're actually towed by ships in the place in their giant Doppler radar systems, and they can actually heat up the atmosphere. I mean, with millions of juice, millions of watts of juice. So it's a pretty scary thing when you really stop and look back at it and what they're capable of doing and how they're building this space fence around us using all of these electronic warfare items. But we've been talking about it now for almost 4 or 5 years, and we were one of the first people on the radio to talk about this. So I talked about this stuff back on Coast to Coast years and years ago. And so now it's sad, but a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is actually coming true. But I want to give a shout out. I got to talk to some more great people today. I got to talk to Deb and Ron and Robert and Dan and Tim and Neil. I had a blast. I mean, you know, gosh, you guys are the best. Our listeners are the best, Austin. Hagman's listeners are amazing. Hodges are amazing. I mean, we've got some really good listeners. I want to thank you guys again, all of you, for the incredible support you've given us over the years, the fact that you listen every single day, that you gave me the privilege and the honor to speak to you personally. I just really enjoy doing that. So thank you. Also, I want to talk a little bit about Joel Osteen today. Now, I'm going to say a few things here that are probably going to get me back into trouble again with everybody. I know a lot of you don't like Joel Osteen. I got that. Okay. I happen to know the guy, and he's come under tremendous criticism right now as to not opening the Lakewood Church, which is not flooded at this point, to the folks right now that are in trouble, etc. Well, let me give you a reason. There's two sides to this. Number one, he brings a lot of money in through Lakewood Church, probably $70 to $100 million a year. So that's a lot of money. I mean, he flies on private jets. He lives in a mansion. You know, he's super, super wealthy. He gets paid $10 million for every book he releases from the publishers in advance. He personally does not draw a salary from Lakewood Church. Now, having said all that, I'm going to say this. When the Superdome in New Orleans got hit by Katrina. Do you remember that, Austin, back in 2005?
Yes, oh yeah.
And they opened the Superdome, which is, you know, it's bigger than his church, considerably larger. But they had raving rape gangs in the Super Bowl. The plumbing went out. The lights went out. They were raping people in the hallways. They were raping people everywhere. They were killing people. They were shooting people. The gangs came in. And then the sewage failed, and they were defecating on the floors and defecating on the carpets and defecating everywhere. And it literally took millions and millions and millions of dollars to basically refurbish the Superdome after it had to go through all of that with what happened with Katrina in New Orleans. Now, you think, well, they may not do that at Joel's place. Well, that's true. They may not, but they might do that. And so, you know, he doesn't want to have. Now, I haven't spoken to Jill. This is my complete synopsis on this. And I've had so many people email me about this. Even Randy from Texas emailed me about this. I want everybody to listen to me for just a second. Joel is thinking through this thing. The government at this point has not asked him to open up his facility. Another large civic center area has been opened right down the road from him. Some people say his basement in the facility is already flooded. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. I've not been there. But here's the thing. From a strategic standpoint, I personally believe that if Joel had to open his facility because he had people standing on the roof of the facility and needed to have some place to stay, I personally believe he would do that. Now, remember, an evacuation order did go through. They've been bringing people in out there by the thousands. They even told people that if they weren't willing to evacuate, they needed to write with a Sharpie on their arm their Social Security number so their bodies could be identified. Now, everybody knew that going into this. Now, the mayor played all that down like we talked about yesterday, said that it was fear-mongering when the lady said he got up to 30 to 50 inches of rain. Now, they're saying that's a possibility. But the reality is this. The people had an opportunity to leave. They did not. This is not Joel's responsibility now to let people come into his facility and trash it out. There's not any guarantee there's even power in his facility. There's no guarantee there's water in his facility. There's no guarantee that they're not going to destroy the facility. I personally think this. In the event that this comes back down in a couple of weeks and things calm back down, people are still needing a place to stay and water is restored, the streets are restored or whatever, that if he was willing to open this to his attendees, the people who go to church there, that live in that area, or open up a food bank and feed people out of there, or do something like that, that would be a lot. But at this point, with what happened to the Superdome in New Orleans, with people being raped and murdered and shot and lawlessness that was going on in New Orleans, I can't say, Austin, at this point that I blame him since the government has not come in and asked him to open that facility. What do you think?
I'm pretty much on the same stance with you. I got a lot of emails about it today, too. People were sending me photos, articles, and there is no standing water at the front of his facility from the photos that I have seen. However, they do have the basement area of that facility because of the loading docks and everything else in there, and I have not been inside, nor do I know anybody that's been inside to release any photos that show whether they have standing water in there. If there is standing water in the bottom, depending on how the plumbing is set up and how the bathrooms are set up, that can run into a very significant issue as far as how the toilets are going to operate. And in my opinion, I do believe if he needs to open that up for a massive amount of people that literally have no place to stay and the shelters are completely maxed out, all the civic centers are maxed out, and there's no other options left, I think he would open it up in a heartbeat. However, right now, they are still in the middle of a storm, and they have not maxed out capacity, to my knowledge, in any of the main hurricane shelters yet in that vicinity. They're still bringing people in there. They're still getting supplies in and so forth. So what he more than likely is going to do is use that as a supply hub. He'll probably take in donations, food, clothing, all types of stuff they can, and use that as a donation center. But as far as opening up his entire facility for free reign to let in literally thousands of people into that facility, instead of having them go to the shelter that's right down the road, I personally probably would not do that either unless it was something that was going to save lives. And as of right now, from what I have read and from what I've seen with the hurricane shelters, him opening that facility right now would not prevent any further deaths because they're still trying to save people. They're still trying to go out on the water and go to the houses and search for people. And there's still plenty of room at a lot of these evacuation centers so far. And I do remember talking to numerous people that were involved over there in Louisiana, Katrina, because we're not that far from that state. And that was an absolute nightmare would happen in the Superdome, and I can guarantee you he does not want to have that happen there, nor do I wish that upon anybody of going in there, and I don't think he wants to deal with any other negative publicity. If he did have that happen in there, how much worse it's going to be for him, because then everybody's going to blame him and say, well, he let that happen in his church, and he shouldn't have done that, and so forth. So, yeah, I'm pretty much on the same stance with you with that, is that I think he's going to open it up if he needs to, if there's really a need to do so right now, but from what I've seen, it's more people that are essentially just saying he needs to open it up just because he needs to open it up and prove a point. And at that point, I don't see the necessity to do that.
I just looked it up. The Superdome cost $185 million to repair and refurbish after Katrina. To repair the Superdome, FEMA put up $115 million. The state spent $13 million. The Louisiana Stadium Exhibition Direct Refinance Bond Package to secure $41 million. And the NFL contributed $15 million. Okay? That church doesn't have that kind of money. I mean, that's serious money, $185 million just to repair and refurbish the stadium. And remember, the rapes and the shootings and the deaths that occurred in the Superdome, you can't undo that. And the robbings and the stabbings and the roving rape patrols. I mean, it's, you can't replace that stuff. That's going to be in that history of that facility forever. So I've got to stand with Lakewood Church on this, Austin. And I just think that if he has to later on in a few weeks and he's got to start feeding people and doing things, I believe Joel will do that. But right now, unless the state asks him to do it, he's just a private facility. I can't blame him for not doing this. What's your next story, bud?
Well, the first one, too, this is pretty wild today. I saw this that happened, looks like at the beginning of the week, and it was signed essentially without any fanfare whatsoever, which is essentially a bill that allows homes to be searched without warrant in the Virginia, Maryland, and District Columbia area. And this happened, you know, Congress passed it. It was signed in law by President Trump, and it really got only had five votes from Congress that voted basically against it. It was House Joint Resolution 76. I've been trying to do some research on it today. The title of the bill claims that it's granting the consent and approval of the Congress of the Commonwealth of Virginia, State of Maryland, District of Columbia to enter into a compact relating to the establishment of the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission. Well, so on the basis, it basically is a bill that helps them keep the Metro Rail basically more updated, more secure, and more maintained. However, there's a giant red flag that's buried in the middle of the text that stems from the list of powers given to the Metro Rail Safety Commission, and it pretty much violates all basic tenets of the U.S. Constitution. In the middle of it here, and I pulled it up, it says, in performing its duties, the commission, through its board or designated employees or agents, may enter upon the rail system and upon reasonable notice and a finding by the chief executive officer that a need exists upon any lands, waters, or any premises that are close to or adjacent to the WMATA rail system, including without limitation property owned or occupied by the federal government for the purpose of making inspections, investigations, examinations, and testing as the commission may deem necessary to carry out purposes of the MSC compact, and such entry shall not be deemed as trespassing. The text gives the commission the authority to enter property near the Metro Rail system without limitation and without a search warrant for a purpose of making inspections, investigating, examinations, and testings. Amish, one of the basically congressmen, called out the hypocrisy surrounding the fact that even though this legislation is a clear violation of the Constitution, it was passed by Congress with overwhelming support. So I haven't done a ton of research on this yet. I want to talk about it today, though, and bring it up. But whenever you start seeing stuff like this get signed, when it starts giving governmental powers completely and total uncontrolled, basically breach and seizure of any housing. If they want to go into your house and search something with a Metro Rail or it's an adjacent property, they don't even have to have a search warrant now. Kind of weird, kind of creepy, and as we know with the government, they are rarely ever self-policing, meaning they do not limit their powers whatsoever. They always try to overreach and overstep their boundaries. So pretty weird to see that get passed in the law. I'm going to do some more research on it this week, Deb.
Wow, you know, you hate hearing stuff like this because you really think somebody's going to stand up in the Congress and stop some of this mess. I've got a breaking story here. Now, I think it's right. I've verified it on like three different sites, and it grieves my spirit that this is happening. But I'm going to give you the story because in case it was wrong, I mean, I'll retract it tomorrow. But remember the Illuminati banker who exposed the elite pedophile ring? His name was Ronald Bernard. His body was recovered yesterday. Dead. And he's a Dutch banker who spoke out earlier this year to expose the Illuminati secrets, including details of satanic child killing, pedophile rings, has been found dead in Florida. Apparently he was living in Sebring, Florida, which is like an hour south of us. And he basically, went on a walk, and he basically supposedly got lost while he was on the walk. And he said the deputies pinged his cell phone, but it kept showing different locations. And Bernard called back several times saying that his life was in danger. but he kept moving. And I don't know why he would do that, but he kept moving despite being told to stay put. The deputy said the last contact the deputies had with the former banker was at 6:13 p.m. 2 hours later, they spotted him. He was face down in the shallow water about 300 yards away from his last known location of his cell phone and 1.8 miles from the entrance to the trail at Sun and Boulevard and Balboa Boulevard. I don't know what to say about this. I know that I told my wife when he came forward with this at the beginning of the year that he was probably going to die pretty quick. And I hate saying stuff like that because I said the same thing about SEAL Team 6. But now he's been found dead just south of us 1 hour in Sebring by a Polk County helicopter. And I'm very saddened to see this because he was one of those guys who actually came forward and told the truth. Was there foul play? I don't know how you suddenly fall down and drown in shallow water by yourself when you've got everybody looking for you and you stay on high ground. None of that makes any sense to me unless he was running away from somebody saying that his life was in danger and they attract him into that remote location. What do you think, son?
That's really sad. And the worst part about it is this is a very common occurrence with people that are coming out now and speaking against all kinds of different topics. I mean, we saw what happened with the natural doctors, with the GCMF that was coming out of Europe and what they were figuring out with their research. We see when people come out with these bankers and they have, you know what, suicide, 18, 20, 30 different suicides of jumping from the building to their death repeatedly over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's just supposed to be coincidence. That's very sad to hear that happen. I personally believe 100% that was foul play. Could I be wrong? Sure. Am I? I doubt it. As Dad said, the only plausible scenario there is if he was running and he happened to trip and fall and knock himself out and fall in the water and then happened to not wake himself back up and drown. I mean, I guess that could happen, but that's pretty far-fetched considering the fact he was calling up saying he was in fear of his life. There's no idea what in the world could have transpired between that time. But yeah, that is pretty sad to hear that happen, Dad.
Well, the thing about it is it grieves my spirit because he came out and told the truth about what was happening, what was going on, and now he's dead. By the way, I just watched a video, part of a video today, and it said, why is it that globally right now so many countries are legalizing cannabis all at the same time? I mean, I haven't watched the video yet. It's why is the world legalizing marijuana all at the same time? Now, I'm going to comment on that. It's opium. Now, whether or not anybody wants to understand this or believe this, marijuana for some people, not for everybody, for some people is a gateway drug. Now, it doesn't do that to everybody, but there's a certain percentage of people. Once they start using pot, they start staying stoned, they want to try a little bit stronger pot, a little bit stronger formula, a little bit stronger this, a little bit stronger that, until they finally start taking pills or other things to get more of a high. I personally think the reason that pot's being legalized globally is because the CIA is pushing these governments globally to do this to increase the amount of marijuana that they're selling and also to increase the opiate addiction globally. I believe they don't care how many people on the planet they addict to heroin. I don't think they care how many people they addict to OxyContin or any of the generic fake tablets that are being manufactured by outside and pharmaceutical labs throughout the world that are being distributed among the population of the planet. I believe this is an ongoing thing, and they're trying to do their best to get millions and millions and millions and millions of more people doing this. Remember, Afghan heroin is so big, the Afghan company. Now, they have these smaller patches, but I'm going to give you an idea how big it is. If you take and go to, if you look at the sea line, horizon about 10 miles away, if you take a boat and you go out 10 miles, and then you go out another 10 miles, then you go out another 5 miles, you can't even see land anymore. Okay? That's one direction of 25 miles. This is 25 miles one direction, 25 miles the other direction, almost 600 square miles of opium production. That's how big this is. And now they have a huge production capacity now, huge refining capacity now, huge plant equipment already in place. They need more addicts. And I personally believe that's one of the reasons that marijuana is being legalized all over the place, because what better way to do it, Austin, is to start selling the marijuana and start lacing it with an opiate to get people basically more and more involved in opiate consumption. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's always two sides to it, and I've done a lot of research on both of these for quite some time now because I've been very intrigued with the issue we're having here. And, you know, I'm one stance, you know how I am. I know prohibition doesn't work, and trying to criminalize things and throw people in prison never works. We saw that with alcohol. But on the other hand, too, what really bothers me is the fact now that we see patents of multiple companies that I've referred to now in the last month that are actually genetically modifying tobacco and cannabis. And what I'm afraid they may start doing now, and this is very plausible from the research I've been doing, is start building these basically genetic hybrids of cannabis and opium that are basically either grown together or infused together or genetically modified versions of one another that they start building. And so what it may have is it may have a cannabis base, a THC base, that basically has an opiate added to it. Now, as far as from a scientific standpoint, could I replicate that? No, I have no idea how to do that. From the research that I see these guys doing, though, in the labs with these biotech industry companies, is it plausible that this could be done? Absolutely. And if you want to talk about something that would be incredibly easy to sell, would be a cannabis product that adds a pretty much a significant opiate high. Not to mention, they would give you that gateway, as Dad just said, into that realm of opiates. On top of that, pushing more product. Also, too, you have to understand that now that they're legalizing it, they're massively taxing it. And they're still keeping it illicit, though, because they're allowing a lot of these states to get away with making it legal. And then they're in turn still keeping it federally illegal, Schedule One substance. So what they're doing is now they're able to control the narrative in some of these states by heavily taxing the compound, selling it, making a large amount of money in taxations off of it, and then still selling it on the black market. So I don't know if, like I said, it's my speculation with as far as where they're trying to take this. Anytime they can start genetically modifying plants and start making them stronger, more dangerous, more deadly, it doesn't seem to me like biotech industry and Monsanto and all these guys would hesitate to pull the trigger on that, considering what we've seen them do with corn and soybeans over the last 15 years. So I think there's something much more sinister about this. I think they have some stuff lined up down the road in a couple years that they're going to release that's GMO, and it's going to be cannabis, but it's going to have some really, really, really weird stuff with it. That's my take and what they're going to do. Now, the CBD oils and some of the other stuff that has really good health properties, I don't see an issue with that. I've seen a lot of positive effects from those, but again, those don't have any psychoactive ingredients, so they don't give you any high regardless, so they really don't fall in that category. But in my personal opinion, I think we're about to see a whole nother strand of biotech GMO cannabis that's going to be released on the market here in the next couple years that's going to be much, much, much more stronger and much more aggressive than any anything we've ever witnessed in the history of cannabis. That's my opinion.
Well, think about this for a second. You could take soybeans or corn or wheat or whatever you want to use, and you could splice pig DNA in it, or salmon DNA or insect DNA, or you can put an insecticide with it so it grows its own insecticide. So then corn becomes, so why can't you take poppy and mix it with a marijuana plant genetically?
Yeah.
I can't see why you can't do that. And then you're going to have some kind of incredibly strong marijuana, and now we have legal marijuana all over the planet. It's all coming in at once, and suddenly we have millions, if not tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, if not another billion people, as addictive as this stuff is, using it, experimenting with it, starting on it, which is going to further increase the coffers of the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. By the way, this is an interesting article of the Daily Mail. It says West Wing advisors call Ivanka Princess Royal, and Jared is suspected of leaking the Russian John Trump Jr.'s Russian email. Another leak reveals toxic secrets of the Trump's White House. Ivanka Trump is derisively referred to as Princess Royal by White House aides. I'm sure they can't stand her. Jared Kushner is mocked as a political neophyte in way over his head. Now remember, these two are part of the Shabbat cult of Judaism, which is directly linked with the Mossad. I've talked about that repeatedly. Look it up. You can do your own research on that now. An unflattering profile of the couple portrays them as ignorant in the ways of how government works. Kushner and his wife are also described as being unhappy in Washington, a town which punctures their self-esteem on a daily basis. I mean, this is some crazy stuff that's in the Daily Mail now out of England. And quite frankly, to me, since these guys are both hardcore leftist Democrats, leftist hardcore Democrats, I really have no idea why they're there, except that Trump just wants to have his family buy him. But I think they need to be completely and totally extricated out of the White House. We know that Steve Bannon pretty much was pushed out by these two, and now we know he's going to start attacking them with Breitbart, and they're going to have their hands full trying to deal with that. What do you think, Austin?
I think you're exactly right. They need to be very, very careful what's going on. I think there's a lot of rats and a lot of traitors in the White House right now. And also, too, I wanted to go back to this as far as we talked about at the beginning of the show with Texas. Dad and I talked about it a second ago, but I forgot about it. Think about this now, too, guys, with this incredibly aggressive storm that just hit Texas, which I mean, you can see, as we talked about, too, with the weather modification. This was not a normal hurricane. They intentionally, even the mayor in Houston, told everybody not to listen to fake news. Don't listen to any reports. We're not issuing, basically, an evacuation order, even after that girl posted on Facebook. With the damage that we're already seeing just now, we're seeing the levee overflowing down there in South Houston. And this is just the start of it, guys. I mean, they still have significant amount of water issues. FEMA is going to be in that state for years now. They're going to be there for years cleaning stuff up, just like they did in Katrina, just like they even were in Florida after we had those three hurricanes hit us back to back to back. We had FEMA funds and all types of stuff going on through here for years. They're going to be in Texas now. Texas, again, is pretty much the most conservative, largest state in the country. They really are still big enough to secede if they wanted to, and they're self-sufficient enough to do so. What better of a way to basically control those pesky Texans, so forth, is what the globalists are thinking, as to run a hurricane right up the middle of it and keep pushing it through the state, doing as much physical damage as you can. Now we bring in the federal government to come in and save the day. We bring in FEMA. We bring in the National Guard if they need to. We bring in the UN troops if they need to, or even UN peacekeeping overwatch to basically help out, support FEMA. We've seen that before multiple times. All that stuff now is just coming. I mean, it's not even here yet. That's going to be coming in the next future. So this is a very odd time to see what's going on in Texas, and the fact that this thing hit so hard and there were so many government authorities saying that this was going to be small, nothing was going to happen, this is a joke, don't worry about it, don't evacuate, and then we see exactly what happened, makes me think there's an entirely other agenda between what's going on over there right now, Dad, and what the truth really is.
Let me read this to you. This is the head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency has said the agency is already gearing up for a years-long effort to help Texas recover from the damaging Hurricane Harvey. This is a quote by the Administrator Brock Long of FEMA. He goes, FEMA is going to be there for years, Administrator Brock Long said Sunday on CNN's State of the Union. He added, this disaster is going to be a landmark event. We are setting up and gearing for the next couple of years. More federal government intrusion in Texas. I don't even know if the federal government has a right to go into there with FEMA. I guess with the national security, the NSA and the all the stuff they signed, the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, all the crazy stuff.
Yep.
I guess they can pretty much do what they want to do and completely usurp states' rights whenever they want. I know that they can come to Florida, any place in Florida, because we, you know, it's within 50 miles of a state border, which is pretty much the entire state. The whole peninsula is only 100 miles across, and search your vehicles if they want to, because it could be considered a place where, you know, illegal immigrants can cross. I mean, it's just absolutely nuts, the laws they put into place that they implement, and they don't think that we have any right to say anything about them. Guys, this deep state stuff has gotten the CIA and the facilities and the hundreds of thousands of people who work with this organization directly or indirectly. Of course, the total number is classified. I mean, why would it not be classified? And the amount of intrusion and spying that they've done on the American population and what they've subjected us to since the Patriot Act back in 91 is beyond belief to me. And I remember I told my friends, so many people were so, you know, gung-ho about the Patriot Act. And I said, guys, you don't want this legislation. I said, you know, George Bush may not abuse it. Next president might. Look what Obama did. He gave all, I think, 16 or 17 secret agencies in the government, intelligence agencies, the right to cross information with all the other ones and to share information about everybody with everyone to everything, about everything, every topic. I mean, he did that. That was illegal up to that point. I mean, so, and now we've got, then we had, so the Obama was absolutely a disaster because he was doing the deep state's stolen to do. And quite frankly, if I was Trump, there's so many of these executive orders that Obama signed, I would be going in and I would literally, Austin, I would be redacting these. I'd be saying, we're canceling this executive order, we're canceling this executive order. And what I would do is I'd tie him up in the courts. And if Congress tries to come in to stop you from canceling the executive order, I would just keep writing executive orders, getting rid of those executive orders. And I don't know if they've got the wherewithal or the ability to go in and do all of that, but so many of these executive orders that were signed by Obama, giving them control of the railways and the highways and the food supply and the water and the wells and all the stuff that he did, that needs to go away. All of that needs to go away. It's a complete intrusion on states' rights and the rights of the individual, Austin. What's your next story?
No, you're absolutely right. And also, too, what's going on, back to the opiate thing, just to discuss this real quick. This is an article I got in yesterday from Natural Blaze from Don Luger. And he said, is the next attempt to treat opioid addiction a vaccination now?
Some researchers certainly think so.
There you go. Researchers are coming up now with a new vaccine that would render the effects of opiates null and void in the body. The vaccine is said to offer protection from the effects of both heroin and fentanyl. First off, the first thing is, if they are an opiate vaccination, it's going to prevent them from working. It's going to prevent all opiates from working, essentially. The new vaccine is currently under development by researchers in the United States, and its creators are saying that one day this vaccine could help curb addiction and even possibly overdose. Researchers say this new vaccine will make the brain immune to mind-altering chemicals and could be the key to ending the opioid crisis. Total lie. After Big Pharma creates an addict to opiates from overprescribing, the addict's then cut off from drugs legally by the doctor, which is common. The problem expands. The addict then goes to the black market for synthetic and stronger drugs and this poses major health risk. They go on to say in here, to encourage the defensive reaction, Janda's team has designed small molecules called haptens that resemble the opioid molecules but with proteins attached called epitopes that act as a binding site for antibodies produced by the immune system. Once an immune system is trained up with a series of vaccination shots, it learns to recognize molecular structures that look like opioids thanks to the exposure to these beckoning proxies and will send out antibodies that cling to the drugs, preventing them from crossing the blood-brain barrier for up to 8 months. Did you catch that there? You will need a series of shots for this vaccination to work, and even then, it's only going to last for 8 months at the most. But don't worry, it's probably not a ploy to make money off a crisis. Big Pharma would never do that. And my whole thing about this is, again, this is what their solution is to everything. Create a problem, then add in a vaccine for it. Create an issue that they think is a huge issue as far as the opiates and the addictions and the deaths and the overdose we have is a huge issue. Creating a vaccine for them, there is no demand for that because the ability for this vaccine to actually work, they're already stating you're going to need multiple rounds of it and then it'll work for up to 8 months. This is bizarre to me, but again, it shows you the level of Big Pharma and the big vaccine industry, how all they want to do is find ways to make more money off every single crisis known to man. Whether or not it works or not isn't the point, because you have to remember, they will be 100% exempt if this thing has unbelievably dangerous side effects after they release it out on the market and they do trials on it. Doesn't matter. They're exempt. Doesn't matter what they produce. It could start killing people left and right. Wouldn't matter. Couldn't be sued, couldn't lose a penny on it, couldn't go to jail for it. So it's just ironic to me that, again, we see the big vaccine industry coming up with another vaccine to address something that essentially is useless as far as what they're trying to build.
Well said, Austin. I know yesterday when I was speaking to the one soldier who is retired now and who basically had had the anthrax shot and he was suffering from these horrible, debilitating side effects. When I went on a couple of the forums looking and doing research on trying to figure out what could cause basically a rupture of a bicep tendon from the anthrax vaccine, I came upon a bunch of soldier stories in there who had been debilitated from the anthrax. And one of the soldiers said, and I sent you this, Austin, and I also sent it to the young man I spoke to yesterday. It said basically that the entire procedure now with the vaccinations with the soldiers are to put these soldiers into a degenerative state. In other words, make them start aging very, very quickly because they've been trained with lethal skills and subsets because of their abilities as a infantry officer or combat person, and they don't want those people roaming the general population. So the government has gone in now and administered vaccines to them that they know will terminate their ability to fight and not allow them to be combat ready within a few years after leaving the military, simply because of debilitating illnesses and diseases being caused by the vaccines they were given. Now, guys, I can't repeat that. That was not written down, but I'm just giving you what I just told you. In other words, they intentionally shot them up with stuff to make them age real fast, to make their bodies break down so they can't be combat ready, because they don't want millions and millions and millions and millions of combat vets ready to go, ready to fight, in case the United States decide to go ape wild and start doing nutty stuff. So think about this. If you've got problems, you've got both biceps tendons ruptured, you got your shoulders tendons ruptured, you got your bleeding intestinally. You should just read the side effects from this anthrax stuff, guys, when you get a chance to do some research on it. I mean, they were given to millions and millions and millions and millions of soldiers. I mean, think about this. General Schwarzkopf died years ago, and when he died with senile dementia. And some say it was Alzheimer's disease. Now, whether it was or not, I don't know. I knew Schwarzkopf 20-something years ago, back in 93 to 99, right after the Gulf War. Brilliant man, really enjoyed hanging out with him, spoke perfect German, loved hanging with him. I mean, he loved to take his 50 caliber, bear it out, and shoot it. This guy was a real macho dude. I mean, he was seriously macho. And he told me that pretty much all politicians were babies and idiots, and he had no intentions on running for Congress or the military or getting out of the military status. And of course, he was retired at that point as far as going into politics. He had no interest in it. But he died just a few, probably 10 or 15 years after that he died. So, guys, it's a major problem when you go into the military. So, you guys, think through this before you go in. Now, I know that in some cases they will give officers an exemption, but they'll never put them in active combat. So you got to think through that too if you're going in to be in active combat. But here's the thing. Think through this for a second. We'll be everybody listening, please. And let your friends listen to this show. And let them listen to that little paragraph that I gave earlier. If we're being controlled by the CIA, and our primary objective to be in the military now is to protect the drug cartels and the CIA to make money from the drugs and to enslave the planet into a giant opioid planet, we need to set up a website, Opioid Planet, and basically do all of this stuff. If we do all of that stuff and we know we're going into the military and they're going to ask you to do that, why do you want to go in? Now, I know the vast majority of the people who go into the military now, they're doing it because they want to go to college for free, or they're doing it because they don't have anything else to do when they're 18 years of age. But, guys, think about it from an officer's standpoint. Is this what you really want to do? Do you really want to order your troops to go clear the roads through the poppy fields? I mean, do you want to order them to kill the Taliban that are trying to spray the poppy fields? Austin, as much as I dislike Roundup or Agent Orange, if you've got 25 square miles or 600 square miles of poppy fields, you know, in a given area throughout Afghanistan, we know there are smaller fields than that, just get a C-130 chemtrail plane and load it up with Roundup or Agent Orange. As much as I hate those two products, you could eradicate that entire poppy crop in a matter of hours, all of it. Every single bit of it, 90% of it at least, within hours. You'd have that stuff dropping to the ground and being dead so quick you wouldn't know what to do with it. And every time they replant them, spray them again like we did with the Agent Orange. So, well, Agent Orange was toxic. Well, I'm not saying putting troops on the ground. Get the troops out. Just spray the doggone fields. And but they don't want to do that. That's not what the point is. The point is it's horizon to horizon, 2.5 times in both directions for 600 square miles. Solid poppy. In fact, the soldier yesterday sent me pictures, and I sent them to you, Austin, of the Afghan poppy fields, and one of them was taken directly out of their Hummer. And it shows one field was just, it was like 1,000 acres of poppy. It was unbelievable how big it was. By the way, I want to bring this up real quick because this is something that's so important. And I talk about this every once in a while. And every once in a while, John Rappaport, we've had him on the show multiple times, and I like John. He's a brilliant guy. He's pushing 80 years old now. He wrote an article, Forgotten History, How the U.S. Bankers Financing U.S. Enemies and Why It's Important Now. And I want to say something about this, too. Last night I was watching the Hero Channel. It's kind of like the History Channel. And they were doing an entire thing on World War II. Now, this movie, this show I watched last night was done in 2017. It was done this year. And they were talking about what happened in Yalta, what happened with the Russians in World War II, what happened with Potsdam, you know, when we had the treaty in World War II, and how the Russians had lied about everything. and how the Russians would refuse to let Poland have elections, how the Russians went in and basically imprisoned all of the elected officials that were in Poland. And for the first time, Austin, for the first time, they were actually telling the truth about our ally, Russia, in that show last night. And I thought to myself, why are they doing this? In fact, I sat up until 11 o'clock watching this stuff. I had taken melatonin at 9, so I was about to pass out trying to stay awake. And I was watching this, and I thought to myself, here's why. It's the narrative. The narrative has changed now. Russia is bad. So we have to now go in, and we've got to brainwash, take the brainwashed population who saw Russia as our allies. And, you know, and then they even started talking about what I talked about yesterday, about how in 1947 there was a House meeting committee about the people in Hollywood going in and doing things, you know, trying to promote communism in the United States. They're talking about all this last night on this channel. And I'm like, what the heck? What the heck is this all about? And I thought, well, now I know. 2017, the Russian narrative, they have reengaged Hollywood, and they're having them change the narrative. So let me share with you this real quick about what John. And then one more thing about John Rappaport. The man's absolutely brilliant, but he doesn't say this, but I'm going to say this on this before I read it. The Rockefellers, the Carnegies, most of these robber barons or brilliant business guys, whatever you want to call them, you pick your choice. I think both of them were Rothschild cutouts, like J.P. Morgan. I know he was a Rothschild cutout, and I'm sure Rockefeller was, and I'm pretty sure Carnegie was. And what that means is this. Somebody has a business or something they're doing, and the Rothschilds come in and they basically finance it in the tune of billions of dollars. You see how Facebook grew this big. Are you kidding me? Really? This big that fast? I mean, all of a sudden now we got the CIA involved in it. And so what we have here is a conglomerate of all of the major corporations in the United States being owned by the international banking community now through their interlocking corporate directorships and stock purchases, which is exactly what we saw in the Weimar Republic in 1921, 22, and 23, being controlled by the international banking community, which is controlling the CIA. So all of these entities now have become one giant global control grid around the planet in the manufacturing of the products and the things that they distribute to us. Now they bought the largest health food store, Whole Foods, to basically do whatever they want to do with the quality of the products from Whole Foods, because too many people were eating organic, as far as I'm concerned. Now, here's what he says. Forgotten history, U.S. bankers financing U.S. enemies, and why is it important now? And he says, in 1971, Gary Allen published the book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. It quickly became an unofficial bestseller. Over the years, millions of copies have been sold. Allen's thesis was stark. Super-rich American capitalists, these are the cutouts from the Rothschilds, remember, were financing socialism or communism. The bizarre paradox was resolved when socialism was properly understood, not as a power to the people, but as elite power over the people, in other words, as a hoax. They were trying to enslave the masses. These days, the socialist hoax is still unknown to most of the population. Cloak a global power grab as progress for all of humanity. Here from chapter 6 of None Dare Call a Conspiracy, it says, quote, the Rockefellers and the Reds, remember the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds were communists, they brought the communist revolution, and the Reds is a devastating passion commenting on the period just after the Russian Revolution. Here it is. The Rockefellers assigned their public relations agent, Ivy Lee, to sell the American public the idea that the Bolsheviks, the Russian Revolution guys, were merely misunderstood idealists who were actually kind benefactors of mankind. Now, the only reason the Rockefellers would have done this, Austin, because on the surface they were straight capitalists, is because they were truly being financed by the Rothschild banking cartel, and they were told to support them. Professor Anthony Sutton of Stanford University's Hoover Institute notes in his highly authoritative Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development, quite predictably, Lee concludes that the communist problem is merely psychological, but at the time he's talking about Russians, not communists, includes they are all right. That's what they're trying to make us believe. He suggested the United States should not engage in propaganda, makes for a plea for peaceful coexistence. When Russia refused to let Poland have free elections and Germany had already fallen, Roosevelt was unbelievably upset, and England wanted to start a war against Russia, because this is what the whole war started over, was the invasion of Poland, if you guys remember. And what happened is Patton got so angry, he said, give me the German troops, let me rearm the German troops, give me the American troops, and we'll get rid of communism once and for all. But they didn't want that, because remember, Roosevelt was a communist. Now, that's going to blow your mind, but he was. Roosevelt was a socialist. He was a communist. and he was trying to bring that communist mindset in. That's one of the reasons that Prescott Bush in 1933 tried to do a coup of the United States, because he liked fascism better and wanted to bring a Nazi style of government into the United States. I mean, so these guys are fighting each other, and so this is crazy when you stop through what and you think about what they're doing. In 1927, Standard Oil of New York, Rockefeller, built a huge oil refinery in Russia, thereby helping the Bolsheviks put their economy back on its feet. Professor Sutton states, this is the first United States investment in Russia since the revolution. Shortly thereafter, Standard Oil of New York and its subsidiary vacuum oil company, Rockefeller, concluded a deal to market Soviet oil in European countries. It was reported that a loan of $75 million to the Bolsheviks was arranged. Again, through the Rockefeller, through the Standard Oil Trust, through the Sabbatean Kabbalists, through the Luciferians. That's what this thing's all about. So when you look at all of this stuff, you start looking at Chase National Bank and all of this stuff, you realize that it was involved in selling Bolshevik bonds in the United States in 1928. Patriotic organizations denounced that Chase was being used as an international offense. Chase was what's called a disgrace in America. And they would remember, Chase Manhattan is the Rockefeller Bank, and it's also one of the owning banks of the Federal Reserve System. So this is a giant, giant mess in which all of these banks, this is all through the Sabbatean Kabbalists, guys, remember that. These wizards, these Luciferians, these Harry Potters for real, okay? These guys are a bunch of sickos with their human sacrifice, their drinking of blood, all of the stuff they do. That's what these guys are. They're like the druids of today, but they're all hiding in their Ivy League penthouses and their three-piece suits with their pocket squares. That's who these guys are. And they control all the major corporations in the United States now. And now they're putting this giant electronic control grid around us that's going to monitor every single thing that we do. And I can honestly say to you, Austin, if we're still on the air in 5 years from now, it'll be a miracle of the Holy Spirit and God. It will be. Because we don't cut this. I don't play this game with anybody. I'm going to tell you guys what's happening. I'm going to tell you exactly who they are and what they're doing. Now, I believe God's going to protect us. I believe that. And I believe that we'll be on the air, but it will be a miracle. Because, guys, most talk shows won't touch this stuff. They won't even talk about this. They won't talk to you about the Mossad or about Israel, or that Israel is a cutout state or basically a fiefdom of the Rothschild Empire. They won't talk about this. Somebody asked me on one of my conversations I had with one of our customers today. They said, well, how do you feel about Israel? And I said, I pray for Israel and I pray for Jerusalem all the time. And I believe that we should. I believe we should pray for Israel to be returned to a God-fearing country and state. I believe that we should pray for that on a regular basis. But that's where I draw my line. When we have to borrow money in the United States from the Rothschilds, who basically own Israel, to give to Israel, we're giving them about $30,000 per person every year who lives in Israel for free. I'm going to repeat that. Approximately $30,000 a year in aid to every single person who lives in Israel right now from the United States to Israel, and we're doing it by borrowing the money and giving it to them. That's insanity. That's so stupid that it doesn't even make stupid sense, all right? I mean, why would we do this? So when we get our own financial house in order and we become the largest creditor country in the world and we want to start helping all of these other countries around the world to try to do something, okay, I got that. I don't have a problem with that. But the only reason we give this money out to all of these different organizations is, number one, AIPAC pretty much runs our Congress. There, I said it. I can't change it. I already said it. It already came out. They tell us pretty much what to do and how to live in the United States. And that's why so many people in the Congress have dual citizenships. So we've got to realize we can't allow this anymore. We've got to step away from all of this nonsense. We've got to realize that we have to tell the truth. If a country, I don't care if they're Israel, I don't care if it's Poland, I don't care if it's Germany, I don't care who it is, or China or Russia, if they're doing stuff wrong, they need to be called out on, including the United States. We have become the largest predator nation, the largest terrorist nation on the planet, with our 800 military bases, trafficking children, trafficking organs, trafficking money, trafficking narcotics. This is a nightmare. And the problem is, we, the people of the United States, don't want this, but it doesn't make any difference because our elected officials are so stinking corrupt, they all need to be replaced except for a few of the ones that are more libertarian in mind, like Rand Paul, and of course Ron Paul's retired now. But we've got to understand, guys, if we want our country back, number one, we've got to get these guys out of office, and we've got to get a get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. We have to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. We've got to go back to real money and sound economies again, and we've got to stop allowing these drugs to come into the country through the military and the CIA and all of these bases and being distributed to the mafia. All this crap's got to stop. And if we don't stop it, it's not going to get any better. That's why Trump has had such a difficult time. If he was unaware of all of this stuff when he got in, I guarantee you he's aware of it now. And he's got to get rid of, you know, of Diddly D and Diddly Dumb 1 and 2, Jared and Vivana, get those whack bag liberals out of the White House. And we've got to get people in there who can actually talk to him and tell him what's going on and stop giving him all of this information that's been so filtered through the deep state. Remember, the CIA is the one who comes in through the military, and they're the ones who give him his information every day as to the world events he needs to be paying attention to. That's what's going on right now, and the information is being filtered, so he's not hearing what he needs to hear anymore as far as I'm concerned. Now, some people say, well, could Donald Trump be a cutout of the deep state? Could the Rothschild banking cartel have financed him and his billion-dollar empire? Could they be holding the strings on his empire saying, if you don't do this, we're going to do this? Yeah, that could be true too. But guys, here's the thing. We've got to believe that he's going to try to do the best he possibly can. And I'm going to say it again. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to look at the witch in the White House. That stinking, sabotaging, low-life weirdo that went to her stupid coven meetings every 6 weeks when she was in the White House via private jet, according to Larry Nichols. Thank God Almighty that woman did not get in the White House, because by now they would have already approved bestiality, because don't you know the little animals that you are being weird with, they've approved it. They don't mind. A bunch of sickos. The same thing with the pedophilia. So we've got to stop this slippery slope from getting any further, Austin. And guys, listen to me. All of us have to, and we've got to stay vocal. You've got to take and tell your friends, hey, have you listened to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show? Hey, have you listened to the Hagman Show? Hey, have you listened to the to Dave Hodges? Hey, have you listened to Sheila Zelinsky? Hey, have you listened to these guys talk about what's really going on in the deep state? I met a guy last week at that conference that I attended in Atlanta, Austin, and he sent me a text today. He says, dude, you said this rabbit hole got deep. He says, you weren't kidding. I said, dude, I haven't even sent you the information yet I can send you. I said, it gets weirder. This thing gets so deep, it's unbelievable. But you got to take it back to the Sabbatean Kabbalists, them trying to turn the planet totally upside down through their druidic worship, through their wizardry, through their sorcery, through their blood drinking, and all of the stuff it talks about in the Old Testament and in the book of Enoch. And when you understand that's where this is coming from, and it's been doing this for thousands of years now, and that's how these entities, these interdimensional entities, are fed through these sacrifices, through the blood. Why do you think that all of these cattle get mutilated and all their blood is drained? I mean, this stuff is some weird stuff that's going on around here. And guys, we've got to understand that it's not going to end until we wake up and we say, Genug. It's a German word. I've told you guys it means enough. I'm not dealing with this anymore. And if we do that and we start Genuging these guys and we stop their funding, it's going to change. Oh, gosh, okay. Austin, I got another show I got to do in a few minutes. I got a few more minutes left. I'm going to give the rest of the show to you. I'll go ahead and write up a summary. I got to calm myself back down. Guys, I love you. I do. I got to calm myself back down. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. And so your support of us and getting your vitamins and your supplements through us and your water distillers and all that stuff, it means more to us than you could ever imagine. And I told every person I spoke to today, I said, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. Thank you so much for supporting us and listening. God bless you guys. I'll write the summary, Austin. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bud. Yeah, great stuff today. Also, too, I wanted to address the artificial sweetener issues that seem to constantly keep going on, because a lot of people aren't realizing how prevalent these things are, especially with the sucralose. I had an email today from a listener, really good email, and basically he was thanking me on waking him up and opening his eyes about sucralose. There's another article that got released today now that I saw on Natural Health. And basically it talks into detail again on how artificial sweeteners actually have the opposite effect of helping you lose weight. Everybody always drinks diet and does sucralose and aspartame because they think it's going to basically help you lose weight. They said despite their intent, one of the main disturbing artificial sweetener side effects is the accumulation of fat and unwanted weight gain. Consumption of large amounts of sugar substitutes actually lead to increased fat accumulation, according to several studies. The chemical sweeteners seem to wreak havoc on the body's metabolic processes and cause them to become dysfunctional. Many of the sweeteners are also addictive, like aspartame. The current study results will be presented at the annual 2016 17 endocrine society meeting held in Orlando, Florida, which I thought was interesting. It's down here. For the study, the artificial sweetener sucralose was tested on stem cells taken from human fat tissue. Listen to this, guys. The cells have the ability to change into fat cells, muscle cells, cartilage, or bone, depending on the environment. These stem cells did. The stem cells were placed in petri dishes with doses of sucralose of a similar concentration as found in a blood of a person who's consuming a large amount of beverages sweetened with artificial sweeteners, like pre-workout, sodas, protein powders, all that stuff. Around 4 cans of diet soda each day. That's what they did. That was the accumulation of it. After 12 days, the researchers found an increased expression of genes indicating both inflammation and fat production. The investigators then concluded an analysis of abdominal fat biopsy samples from 8 subjects who regularly consumed low-calorie sweeteners like sucralose. 4 of the subjects were obese. 4 of them were of healthy weight. The researchers found these subjects showed elevated expression of known fat-producing genes. They also showed increased glucose transport into their cells compared with biopsies from subjects who avoided artificial sweeteners such as sucralose. So this stuff, guys, is some toxic stuff. Not only does it calcify your kidneys, not only does it release chlorine gas into the digestive tract, completely wiping out all healthy probiotics and gut flora in the body, now they're showing that it actually shows an expression of fat genes in the body, which essentially means it's designed to make you fat. Even if you're eating clean, you're doing stuff, it still is going to help add on body fat. This is why I'm so adamant about people. Stay off the diet sweeteners, man. Do not use them. You can use monk fruit. You can use stevia. You can use natural plant extract sweeteners like those. They're incredibly effective and don't have the long-term side effects. The sucralose is horrible. It gives you headaches. It messes up your stomach. It hurts your kidneys. Really, really toxic stuff, guys. So I wanted to kind of end with that today. So if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. Check out the product of the week with the Ultimate Essentials. It'll be changing over tomorrow morning. And if you guys need us, 1-800-726-1834. You can call us Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. Keep Texas in your prayers right now as they stay strong. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.